Good day, everybody.
Good day, everybody. Welcome to episode 25 of the Good Day podcast, where Maxie and I talk about our adventures down under.
Wow, a quarter to 100.
Yeah, that's right. 100's the goal. No, it's not. We are back in civilization, people. We made it back. And yeah. We're back in Cairns. Feels good to be back in civilization again.
Also, happy Lionsgate portal for those that are lucky enough to be listening.
On 8/8.
Yeah, and if you're listening late, maybe rethink your life decisions and listen quicker.
It's the Egyptians' Galactic New Year. Yeah. So it has a lot of meaning this day. 8/8/8, because 2024 adds up to 8. So it's 8/8/8, that's why, if those are wondering.
Powerful day to...
To be alive.
To be alive, you know? All right, but, so let's review our week, Corey.
Yes, so last week we left off you guys at a spot called Chili Beach, and we forgot to mention that we unintentionally got the best spot. So, like, they make you do these bookings online through the website. They don't have any map of like, the campsites or anything like that, so I just booked number 11.
Well, I don't think we knew we had the best spot until later.
Oh, yeah. So... I just guessed and was like number 11. And when we got there, I was like, oh, this is the worst spot, because all of the spots were right on the beach or closer to the beach, and ours was literally across the road.
Yeah, ours was like the only non-beachfront. I mean,
and it was only 50 yards from the beach, but like.
Yeah. But the other spots, I would say only three of them were direct beachfront, and then the rest were like kind of covered with trees, but still right there on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And then ours was far away.
But when at first I was like, oh, dang, this stinks. Picked the worst spot. Like, when we got there, we noticed it was windy. But it just got windier, windier, and windier. It was blowing a hurricane at night. It was so windy. And our spot was behind all the trees, well protected. And we walked over in the morning, and it was still blowing a hurricane. So...
I don't know how they did it, the people that slept in those spots.
It must have been insane sleeping. I don't think we would have slept. We probably would have moved.
Yeah. But it was very windy, and it wasn't that far from us, but it was just so much windier over there.
That's why you can't judge a book by its cover.
Well, that's why you gotta trust your gut, and Corey's intuition said 11.
Yes, and 11 was good, so we're happy with that. And also on Chili Beach, was it Chili Beach that we walked around? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we were in hunt. We're in the hunt for some young green coconuts.
Young green coconuts. See, if you live in the tropics as long as Corey and I, you might... I'm kidding. You might wonder, like, what is the type of coconut that one would want to drink? And turns out it's young green coconuts. Mm-hmm. It's not those furry brown ones. No. It's the young green coconuts.
So we did a beach walk. This beach is just like probably 100 miles long, and all palm trees line right up to the beach. And so we were on the hunt trying to find some fallen coconuts, trying to throw sticks and other coconuts at the ones in the tree to knock them out. And I finally knocked one out, and it exploded on opening, and it was leaking its precious coconut juices. And I picked it up, and I had a glorious sip of it. And Maxie had some, too.
Yeah, it was good.
And then later on, we found a freshly fallen coconut tree that had all of the coconuts. And we took those and brought our...
We pillaged it.
We pillaged that tree and brought our winnings back to our campsite.
It's funny because we were trying to get them down, and then we came across this tree. It was just abundant.
There was probably 25 coconuts on that tree, and we only took 3 back to shop.
People were laughing at us carrying our coconuts.
And they were loaded with fresh coconut juice. I didn't really know how to open it. Some of these campsites advertised having a coconut spike. I don't really know what that is, but I just assume it's like a spike in the ground that you can open a coconut with. But we couldn't find it, so I ended up taking one of those things that you, like, if you have a flat tire, or like if you got a nail in your tire and you got to patch it, the ones that like stab into the tire and make it loosen it up so you can put your plug in. I used that to stab into the coconut to create a little straw hole for us, and we reaped the benefits of our young green coconuts.
They were delicious.
It was amazing. Like, it tastes, the best coconut water I've ever had was straight out of that coconut.
Agreed.
Yes, and we also, another thing about Chili Beach, I don't know if we said this last week, but we had chili on Chili
Beach. Yeah, we made chili. It was kind of unintentional.
Yeah, we were planning on making chili one of the weeks, and or one of the nights, and it just happened to be on Chili Beach.
Yep, so that was
really good.
Yep, and we had our coconut wine, or sorry, our mango wine.
Oh, and also at Chili Beach, we forgot to mention, at night, we've been on hunt for cassowaries, and we were going to bed, and we haven't seen one yet, and so we were going to sleep.
A cassowary is a very, very big emu, blue, special, rare bird.
Yeah, there's only like 4,000 of them in the world and only 1,000 in Australia. So they're super rare, endangered, and they only eat like one kind of little fruit. So it's a really like, it's hard to find them.
Yeah.
And during the day, there was all like these little turkey chickens running around our campsite, and they were really small and didn't really make much noise. But at night, when we were getting ready to go to sleep, or just in the middle of the night,
the middle of the night,
Maxie and I were both like woke up to like these, definitely something bipedal, just making it was sounded so heavy when its footsteps like walking next to our campsite. And we both were up and we're like, did you hear that?
No, we both didn't know each other was awake, and I refused to look out the window screen because I thought it was going to be a Bigfoot. I really did. It was walking around our campsite so heavy.
Yeah, but it sounded like...
I guess Corey was thinking in his head cassowary, which if he had said the words to me and I knew he was awake and he said that, I would have looked.
Yeah.
Because I forgot that existed.
Well, like, it's weird to say, but it sounded like it had, like, the three toes, you know? Like, it sounded like it had those, like, bird-like feet that were, like, crunching into the leaves around it, so...
Well, I googled it. They have 9 toes.
They have 9 toes?
No, I'm kidding. I made that up. It might be 3.
But yeah, that's what it sounded like. It had like that talon type foot and it was really heavy. So I think it was a cassowary. And
why didn't you look?
Because I was like...
Well, it was actually pitch black. So.
Yeah, it was pitch black.
And it was a new moon.
Yeah.
Right? Or no, a full moon?
I don't know what it was, but it was not easy to see.
Yeah, it was dark.
Oh, yeah, but that was our experience at Chili Beach. I really liked it, and we checked out the Iron Range, Lockhart. I think it had something to do with a lot of World War II stuff there. There was, like, a nuclear missile stored there or something. I remember reading on that sign. I don't really remember. It had a lot to do with World War II, and it's, like, a strategically positioned military base. And
all I remember from there is that the Aboriginal kids that were playing in the street were pushing around like a 5-month-old in a stroller, and they were like 5 years old themselves. So I thought that was funny that they were taking care of the little baby.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. They also there had tons of stray dogs and just dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Dogs everywhere exploring the whole area and stuff.
But yeah, I would go back to that area if they paved the road.
Oh my god, so this trip can be classified under one word. Corrugations.
# corrugations with a K.
If you don't know what a corrugation is, it's basically a washboard road, like a dirt road that gets driven on, and it's like an old school washing board where it just has like these bumps in the road, and they're
so Corey's
endless.
Abs, but in dirt form.
Yes, just endless bumps in these roads, and they really wreak havoc on vehicles. Like,
they are bumpy.
It's the worst, and it's so sad that just the government doesn't pave these roads. There's like communities up here that are isolated.
Yep, and it makes it worse that they... It's just miserable having to drive long distance up there.
You can't get up here in the summer. So, down here, summer or winter, back in the northern hemisphere, but...
Because it's monsoon season.
Yeah, it's the wet season, so all these roads basically get washed out and nothing happens. Like, there's no... Nothing happens. But we've had some struggles with the corrugations. The first... So, Chili Beach was basically a detour and out and back to get to this main development road. They call it the Peninsula Development Road, to go all the way up to the tip of Australia. And this road, oh, it was It was pretty bad. The Chili Beach Road, what do you think? Like, it was bad.
Yeah, it was the worst so far, and then it got worser.
So, on the section in Chili Beach, was it the Chili Beach section that there was some stuff in the back falling?
The tree.
Our tree got hurt.
It might have been the Chili Beach section, but honestly, it was somewhere on Cape York.
Yeah, our water container fell and broke the tree in half.
If you don't laugh, you cry.
It's a tough look for our tree right now. But honestly, the tree breaking in half, I thought this tree was drier and deader. It looked healthy in the trunk.
I think it's better now.
Yeah, so it might be new life. More life, more everything.
We might be delusional. We need my friend Alicia Rinaldi to give it treehab.
Yeah,
because she gave her tree treehab.
Yeah, so the tree is in bad shape, guys. I think we might plant it on Magnetic Island and leave it there, and hopefully it'll grow.
I think it'll come back now that it's not trying to support the dead top half.
Yeah.
But I also might be delusional about it.
Mm-hmm. And so further down the road was our next sleeping point. We stayed at was Archer River before?
No, Bramwell Station is where we stayed.
So Bramwell Station, basically
the best Wi-Fi I've ever had at any camping spot ever.
This is just a field in the middle of a cattle ranch, and it's just like
I didn't see one cow there.
Didn't see one cow, and the guy, like, for some reason, dinner is like a really big deal here, and it's like a pre-set menu. And usually,
I think it's a buffet,
but they make it seem like it's so popular. And the guy was like, sold out for dinner, you can't keep, no, don't even think about having dinner with us.
Yeah.
And we talked to some other guys later on in the trip, and they're like, oh, yeah, that guy's an absolute menace, don't even try and talk to that guy.
Yeah, and they had the same exact story that he was like, dinner's booked. And he asked us if the owner gave an hour-long speech before the band came on, because they had live music. And we were like, yeah, we weren't that far from the band, so we just sat in our spot and listened. But we're like, yeah, the guy did give an hour speech.
Talked for an hour, yeah.
And then the band finally started, so these people we met a few days later had the same exact story from 4 years ago, when they came up 4 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely the highlight was the great Wi-Fi there, but we did get to talk to some interesting people.
Yeah.
So, one issue that's been going on with our car, I don't know, it wasn't formed from the corrugations,
it's a non-issue.
Yeah, it's a non-issue, really. Our AC squeals when we turn it on or when the lot's going on. So, I did a little bit of looking up online and how to fix this, and when I was looking under the car, a tour guide came up to me and was like, hey, do you need help? Like, everyone, like, first, when we pulled in, there was a car that just was missing a wheel and was just, like, sitting there. So, almost everyone at this park is, like, doing mechanical work.
Yeah, so many people fixing their cars because these roads are awful.
It's the roads just killing the cars. And if we knew, like, this
we
was, like, an issue for if this was going to break stuff in our car, we wouldn't have gone up. Or, like, we would have been a little more hesitant about going up.
Yeah. Side note before Corey gets to the tour guide. There's this off-roading track that people come up to go and do, and they know that they're going to destroy their car on it, called the Old Telegraph Track. They know that something is likely to go wrong. They have to bring, like, 2 spare tires along their journey.
It takes them days.
It takes them days to go this small amount of distance.
Probably less than 100, like, probably 75 kilometers.
Yeah.
It takes them 4 days.
They have really, really, really steep entrances into deep, deep, deep river crossings and mud pits and, like, very steep exits out of creeks, and it's just a real fun thing for the adventurous spirit who has a lot of money with a car that they could rough up a bit.
Yeah.
So a lot of adventurous Australians go up to do this track, so we knew that those people were messing up their cars.
It's a true off-roader's dream. It's the Australian off-roader's 4x4 dream to do the Old Telegraph Track.
Exactly. And so little did we know that literally anyone that takes this road trip is going to, like, have minor issues with their car at the very least.
Yeah.
And those are the people not taking this off-roading track.
Yeah, they take the bypass. Yeah.
Yeah, so like what we did. So, I mean, we ended up with a few minor things, but the AC, Corey was working on it at Bramwell Station.
Yeah, and the guy Will, the tour guy, came over, helped out, gave his 2 cents, and just gave a little encouragement. I think I made the AC a little bit better, but it still squeals, so I'm kind of saving all the mechanical work that I have to do on the car, which is not much, when we get on Magnetic Island, because it works fine. Everything is working perfectly right now.
And actually, Corey said that this station, Bramwell Station, was a great place for a mechanic to be a resident mechanic there, because all these cars need help, and their mechanic was out of town. And all these other cars needed help too. Like, we didn't need any help, but the cars that did need help weren't getting the help from the mechanic.
Oh, and some other, we talked to a couple who did a section of the telegraph track, and they're like, oh yeah, there's different lines you could do, so you don't have to do the super hard stuff. And he's like, oh yeah, you guys should totally do it. Here's a video of us doing the chicken line or the easier line. And it did not look easy.
No, it was crazy. And the way she described it before she showed the video, I was like, it was nothing. Yeah, maybe we'll do that. And then her husband made her show the videos, and it was insane what the chicken track is.
Yeah, like water up to the bonnet. And
by chicken track, they mean like wimp track or like scaredy cat track. It was crazy.
Yeah, the whole track is, like, I think if you were prepared with, like, a group of people and you had, like, a winch to get you out and just, like, you knew things would go wrong and you had all your spare parts with you and you can be a lot more prepared for this trip than we were and do the old telegraph track, but it's not really worth it.
We weren't not prepared. It's just that those people have to prepare way more because they're, like, doing crazy things. I would be down to do it one day in someone else's car.
Yeah, it would be like one of those things, like you rent a car and you do it.
Rent a car?
Yeah, just rent one of those off-roading caravans or something like that. Or cars.
Yeah.
Oh, and actually Maxie got catcalled.
When Corey went to the showers and I went to the bathroom really quick and walked back to the car alone, and I heard all these motorcycle gang young guys. They were like, that's the Canadian chick. And I'm most offended that they thought I was Canadian.
Oh, such an offense to be considered Canadian and not American. I also got told I had a thick accent.
Someone told Corey that.
So I don't think my accent's that thick, but Maxie thinks I just sound really American.
No, I think that he talks loudly. Or he talks loud and proud when he says American phrases. So in Australia, they say, how you going? And Corey will say, yeah, how are you?
Yeah.
And like, g'day. And Corey will say, hey, what's going on? So just very, it's very obvious that he's American. It's not that he has a thick accent.
Yeah. And there's also like weird, I don't know, these places like not, it's like third world still up there basically. There's no internet. There's the roads aren't paved. It is like a second, probably not third world, maybe second world country. And like one of the gas stations had just like, you had to take a picture of how much you had to pay and then go into the store and tell them that and then
show them the picture.
So we were getting gas and there's like a ton of dirt bikers around because I guess they do the track too. And so I thought they were done filling up. They walked away, and I was like, all right, I guess I can start filling up. And I take the thing off, and it resets, and they're like, oh, no, we forgot to take a picture of it.
And so, they were, like, acting like it was Corey had to solve the problem for them. And I was watching out the window, and I was so confused why they were looking at you to, like, give them an answer for how they never took their picture.
Yeah, so
they might have got free gas, though.
They could have gotten free gas. Yes, and then the next, so basically the story, the moral of the story from Cape York and the telegraph track, or at least on the way up, is corrugations. So many corrugations. It's only I think it was only about 200 kilometers or 120 miles. Normally that'll take you 2 hours. Took us about 5 hours to do that, just because how slow the speeds were. And in the middle of it, there's a river crossing that is called the Jardina River Ferry.
Jardine River Ferry.
So everyone's always mad at this ferry because they absolutely rip you off. The only way to get to Cape York is go on the ferry and cost $130 for a 50-yard journey.
Yep.
round trip. So 65 away. But literally, you could almost... I bet people have tried just driving the side. The ferry ride was maybe 45 seconds.
Yeah, it was so short.
Yeah, it was ridiculously short. And, yeah, it just, like... I guess the government offered to build a bridge years ago. And they were like, no, we like collecting our money from these suckers going across. But yeah, the Giardina River Ferry was a bit annoying.
Yeah, but the funny part on the way back, when we rolled up to the ferry, we saw that it was on the other side of the river waiting for cars to show up, and we arrived at the other side, and we were like, oh, this other car on the other side is also stopping.
We're gonna have to wait.
Gonna have to wait for these two cars to get on the ferry, because the boat's already on this side. And they chose to go to us first. Yes. So they relocated to the other side of the ferry, picked us up, and brought us over before they picked up the cars that, like, stopped at the same time as us on the other side.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. So we love the ferry.
Yeah. Worth the money.
Yes. And so after that long, long journey all the way up, we finally hit a little bit of pavement. They call it bitumen, which is just, I don't know why they call it that, but... That's just the word they use for pavement. I think it's pretty common over the world, the bitumen instead of sealed or paved.
Never heard of it.
Yeah. I think I've heard of it watching, like, Top Gear Grand Tour or something like that. And we made it to the tip. Well, we first checked in.
Oh, the top of Australia! The top of the Australian continent.
Yeah, so the northernmost point in Australia. We were there, and we were the only ones there for some time.
Yeah, because we went in the evening, which we probably went a bit late, and it was unintentionally the best tide to go.
Yeah, so the tide was perfectly low.
We had no idea until after that we had to, like, time it out with the tide.
Yeah, you can't go at higher tides because it'll be underwater, or just almost underwater, the sign. So we went at the perfect time, the only ones there, and then as we were getting ready to leave, another couple came down and took some pictures of us, too.
Yeah, but the pictures we took of ourselves were better. But we were, yeah, it was pretty cool to be standing at the tip of Australia and knowing that no one else was up there. Because you had to do this hike. I wasn't expecting to do a hike.
Yeah, it was like a half-mile hike or something.
I thought it was going to be a classic Australian, like, you park and you walk 10 feet and you're at the thing. But no, you had to hike to the sign, and it was already evening, so I was like, oh gosh. We spent some time getting to the sign, and then we were alone for a while, and then we went to leave. The other people showed up, and we hiked back. So that was cool.
Yeah, it was really an interesting place. It's just like a different kind of barren wasteland. Like, you feel so isolated up there, like you're almost in, like, this desert of no man's land, but it's like a tropical paradise at the same time. It's pretty hard to explain. Just because it's such an undeveloped area of the world, it feels like you're deserted, basically.
Yeah, and gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous beaches that...
Can't swim.
You cannot go in the water.
Yeah, it's so dangerous, the crocodiles up here. Well, I think they're, like, you can probably jump in and jump out of the water in some non-estuary coastal rivers. I think the coastal rivers are the most dangerous, definitely.
Yeah, I think you mean jump in the ocean.
Yeah.
But they're out there too, but I think that they just like hanging out in the rivers.
Yeah. And we stayed at one of the, like, most famous places up there called Punson Bay. And, like, everyone we talked to were like, oh, we couldn't get in there. But we got a night there really easily, and just... I don't know, we don't really book many things in advance, but I probably booked that a week and a half in advance and got...
Not even. Well, yeah. Maybe, I don't know. And but yeah, that was vibey, that was fun.
Yeah, it was a great time. It had like a bar, restaurant, cafe...
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Everything. There was a massive bug in my shower when I went in there.
Oh, a stick bug.
A huge, probably 8-inch long, 12-inch long stick bug in the shower with me, and then when I turned around, it was gone, so that's the best feeling.
Oh, and I saw it the next day in my bathroom, and I jumped 5 feet in the air, because just, they really blend in like sticks.
Yeah, they're pretty crazy, and we ended up getting dinner at the restaurant, and meeting, we overheard an American and we kind of joined in with his, he was having a conversation with his friend who was there, and then two locals, actually. Well, two hospital workers.
Yeah, and he kept talking about New York, so I chimed in and I was like, are you from New York? And he said he lived there for a few years, but he lives in D.C. He's this Persian guy with an accent. And we told him we live in Connecticut, and he, like, practically forced us to come join them, because him and his friend met the other two that day, and they were like, come, new friends, join. And it was so much fun. They were all great people.
Yeah, they were Persian.
One was an Australian Persian, one was the American Persian.
Yeah.
And then the other two locals were just, like, Australians. But the Persian from America was the funniest person ever.
Yeah, he was a riot, that guy.
He was so funny. And the Australian one was so funny. Ali and Razma, I think.
Yeah, it was really interesting talking to the hospital director. His name was Paulo. And kind of just getting...
Up here.
Yeah, he's the hospital director for the... So basically, Cape York is five remote indigenous communities. I think there's a total population of around 3,000 people there. I think two or three communities are Australian Aboriginals, and then two or three, I'm not really sure, it's split up. Two communities are Torres Strait Islanders, so they come from the islands that are between Papua New Guinea and Australia.
Owned by Australia, though.
Owned by Australia, yeah. So, it's kind of like a communal five communities that come together, and he's the hospital director of the area, and he was just kind of telling us about how wild of an area it is. He's only got 9 hospital beds and gets 6,000 patients a year in and out.
And like half of them are tourists that are like have car trouble
or an older person forgets their medication, like small things like that. But he was kind of giving us the inside scoop of like what the area's like, and one of the coolest things I thought was how like his hospital offers like people to, or it encourages people to like practice their traditional medicine combined with like everyday modern medicine. Yeah,
so if they like worship a certain tree or and berry to solve a certain ailment, they will take them to that tree and encourage it, as long as it's safe. Like, if they're having an active heart attack he said that they won't take them to the tree, maybe later. But, yeah, it's really cool that they incorporate the...
traditionalist culture, yeah. That was really nice to see, too. And, I don't know, it was neat talking to him, giving us the inside scoop on, like, the wet season and what it's like. And
yeah, Paulo, he was so, so, so nice.
Yeah, very nice guy. He looked like a classic male nurse, the way male nurses look, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great dude.
Yes, and another person we met who was ironically fixing their car after they completed the old tele track, they blew an alternator, and they went through 4 different alternators to try and find the right one, or try and find one that worked, was this super hippie dude. He was tattooed head to toe.
He had a grill, a gold grill.
Gold teeth, gold all in my chain.
So many face tattoos, tattoos everywhere. Did he have dreads or anything?
No,
hair. He had a bun.
Yeah, man bun, that's hair goals.
He was so nice, too.
Yes, he was super nice, and it's just, it goes to show you everyone is just trying to fix something at these campsites. And
because the roads are so bad no matter which way you go. And so we started talking to him, and he said he was from Nimbin, which is known as the ganja capital of Australia.
Yeah.
And he looked like he would want to live there.
Super hippie community right outside of Byron Bay. And
so Corey and I already know that...
We did a little research before.
Yeah, we know that Bigfoot in Australia is called the Yowie. And we know that they are often found near the inland area of Byron Bay. And we know that Nimbin, where this guy's from, is inland of Byron Bay. So Corey blurts out...
You got any yowies out there, mate? And he says, yeah.
Well, no, you said, do you have any Bigfoot? And he said, oh, we call it the Yowie.
Yeah.
And then he said, people say that if you hear rocks being thrown in the creek, it's them, but I just think it might be kids having fun.
Yeah.
So he was a non-believer.
Non-believer in the Yowie, but he definitely believes deep down. I can see it.
Yeah, but it was so crazy that he had an answer for that.
Yeah. And that kind of led us into, I was like, oh, maybe, because we listened to a podcast called Sasquatch Chronicles, and it just tells really good stories of Bigfoot encounters, or just people telling their Bigfoot or strange story encounters in the woods in America. And I found an exactly similar one, I forget the name of it, but it's basically an Australian version.
It's like Yowie Research.
Yeah, and it's people just telling their weird experiences in the woods in Australia, and all of the stories are from, like, that Nimbin, inner Byron Bay area between
North New South Wales and South
Queensland. Yeah. And
the stories are better than Sasquatch Chronicles, I'm telling you. Corey and I are huge Bigfoot fans.
These are really good. Like, it seems like, and we found like a Facebook group that talks about it, and it seems like how Bigfoot is kind of like taboo in the America, and it's like
in the America.
In the America. But like, the people consider it like non-real or just like mythology, cryptid. Here they're like, oh yeah, it's real.
Like, yeah, they're like, oh yeah, they're out there. They live in this forest. Yeah. Oh yeah, the Yowies are there. It's just such a different culture.
Especially, we heard some Aboriginal Australian stories of them, and they're like, yeah, they're here. They're the hairy man. They've
been here longer than anyone.
Yeah, so it's so interesting to hear, like, this different side of things, and the stories are phenomenal.
Yeah, so, like, no questioning if Bigfoot's real down here. They know it's real.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And speaking of that, there was, at our campsite last night, there was a couple guys just had, like, really powerful flashlight out, and they were like scattering around looking at something, and after they come back from looking for whatever they saw they were looking for, I go up to them and say, I asked them what they were looking for. They were like, oh, just a dog or something, and I said, oh, I thought you were looking for the Yowie. And they got a good laugh out of the guy.
The guy couldn't stop laughing. He thought it was so funny.
Yeah, oh, that was great.
But back to that campsite at Loyalty Beach up on the...
So yeah, their next campsite was Loyalty Beach.
That's where we met the Nindin guy.
Dude, yeah.
So there were another group of motorbikers, and they were camping like two sites away from us, all of them, and they all had their bikes lined up next to each other. And I guess a green python.
Tree snake, maybe.
Green tree python. Yeah. Went, like a long, long, skinny one. Went and was like slithering by someone. Corey was there when they found it. And so they all looked at it and it got scared and it crawled into the engine of one of their bikes.
Yeah, it's just like he crawled up into the bike. And then everyone gathered around and they were watching this guy disassemble his bike, trying to get this snake out. And so we're just kind of watching from afar. And then we hear a big commotion.
The snake comes out. The snake finally comes out
probably after 15, 20 minutes.
No, I was going to say like 45 minutes. They were working on that bike for so long. So many spectators. So the snake comes out. And then suddenly they're all up in hysterics again because it goes over to the next bike and goes in that engine.
Yeah, all the bikes were lined up and instantly that snake got out of the first person's bike and went right into the second person's bike.
Oh, it doesn't stop there, guys. So they spend like another at least half an hour.
Yeah.
It might have been longer on that guy's bike.
Because we lost interest
yeah,
there.
Yeah, everyone, well, a lot of people lost interest then. And so they're working on that bike. They take that one apart. The snake comes out. And it goes where, Corey?
Back in the first person's bike.
Yes. And I think they worked on it a little bit. And then they gave up. And they just wheeled his bike over to, like, a woodsy area of the campsite in hopes that the snake would just come out itself.
Yeah. It was just so funny to see. Oh, my gosh. Snake jumping from bike to bike.
You can't make it up.
And that's not the only wildlife we saw at this park. This area is known to having feral horses.
Brumbies.
Yeah, Brumbies. And...
Well, first we saw these two people riding these crazy horses.
The fastest I've ever seen anyone ride a horse.
Across the beach.
Absolute. They were a flat out mite in a sprint.
And I don't think they had any, like, saddle or anything.
Riding bareback,
and
yeah.
And they looked like they were going to get bucked off. So Corey was like, look at those two people riding feral horses, which was the funniest visual.
But then that night, all of a sudden, we hear, like, another night encounter of here, like, you kind of could hear the hooves of the horse.
Yeah, creepy.
Trotting along, like, next to our car. And then all of a sudden, we hear it getting closer and closer, and I'm like, oh my god, the horse has got to be right outside our window right now. And I look down, and there's a feral horse right outside our window.
Yeah, he was tall, too. He was, like, nearly at our window screen.
Massive, massive horse just looking at us from outside into it. And I was like, oh, I don't want this horse to wreck anything, so I tried to shoo him away.
Yeah, they left, but there were more, and I could hear them moving around at night.
They were just running around all night.
Looking for food.
But before we went to bed that night, Maxie had an encounter.
Yeah, this was the craziest, coolest thing of my life. So Corey and I are getting ready to go to bed, and he's saying goodnight, and I'm saying goodnight, and I could see outside our tent window screen at the stars, and so I'm just, like, kind of staring at the stars as he's saying goodnight, and all of a sudden I see, like, the most vivid UFO.
Crazy,
I see this ball of white light, much lower than the stars, but I'm not talking, like, low enough to touch or low enough to throw a baseball at, not that low, but much lower than the stars, much bigger than the stars, because it was lower. I see it shoot into the exact area that I'm looking at the sky. So it just comes in magically, like, glowing the brightest white light I've ever seen. It pauses for a split second. So I see it shoot in, I see it pause, and then it shoots off faster than it came in. Like, you couldn't even follow it. That's how fast it left. Like, the speed of light it left. But you could see that it was starting to leave, and then it just got too fast to follow. And, yeah, it was a UFO 100%. My mind was just, like, knew exactly what it saw as soon as I saw it, and it was... felt very special.
Yeah, that's incredible. I just had my eyes closed because I was going to sleep, so I missed it, so I'm jealous.
It was literally a second after you probably closed your eyes. But I started getting nervous because we had been listening to the Sasquatch podcast, and...
the lights are off.
The creepy horses were coming up to the car, and I saw a UFO, and I was like, okay, now a Bigfoot's gonna come stare into our tent. But luckily, it was a busy campsite, so... well, everyone was asleep at that point when that happened, but... no Bigfoot. But there was a man fishing right outside our beachfront campsite. And this is a dangerous place to fish.
He was in the water.
Yeah, I thought he was going to get killed by a crocodile because so many weird things were happening. I was getting nervous.
Yeah, he was fishing knee-deep in night. I don't know why. And there was people fishing at sunset knee-deep in the water. Just like people say how dangerous it is. And the people go out and do that. It's insane. But
yeah.
Yeah. Another thing about... oh, and did we finally get a text? So last week we were talking about the house sitters, and they were like, oh, yeah, one day you'll make it up to Cape York. You'll never... like, you don't have time now. But, like, yeah, maybe after your next house sit, you can make it up there.
Yeah, you'll have to go down 4.5 hours to Magnetic Island, do your 7-week house sit, and then you could come back up to the tip of Australia. So... you guys already listened to that podcast, I'm sure, so you know the tea. If not, go listen. But, so I got a very nice text from Tracy, the dog owner, and she sends me these adorable videos and pictures of the dog on their Sunday walk, and she gives me their update and asks, she goes, how far did you and Corey make it up? Because they kept telling us that, like, we didn't have time to go to the tip, and that we could go to these other northern towns that were only, like, 2 hours away from their house. And so instead of, like,
and at this point we're already on our way back down from the tip.
Yes. We're at Loyalty.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're on our way back down. So I texted her back and I was like, oh, wait, thanks for the pictures. They were so cute. And I sent her a picture of Corey and I at the tip. And I said, we made it to the tip. We're coming back tomorrow. And even though, like, we were basically on our way down.
Yeah.
And she read the message. I also sent her a nice picture of something up there that reminded me of her from her telling her stories of her trip that she took days earlier. So I, like, added a nice extra message, personal message. And she reads it and she doesn't respond. And Corey and I are just laughing because for some reason they really doubted that we could do it. And she didn't even respond. And so we just kept talking about, like, oh, we wonder, like, if they think we're crazy or something. And then, like, a day or two later, I get a text from
their friend.
Their friends that went on that road trip with them, the nicest couple ever. And they send us the nicest message saying, what a great picture of you guys at the tip. Like, safe travels, enjoy. Like, that's so great. And so that really made our day, but we still never heard back from the homeowners. Yeah.
Oh, that was so funny. And I don't know what, and we're like back in their area now. So we were like, we have some time in between our house sit, which we should probably talk about our next house sit and the tribulations we've gone through there. But we're like, oh, we should go stay with her again. But she hasn't answered, so that'd be awkward.
Yeah, we don't know what they had against us going up there. But
another weird personal thing. I'm telling you, old people, it's Corey versus the old people this year, because I've been getting annoyed at them. This lady at a cafe, just like, it wasn't, it's a roadhouse, so there's not really much coffee perfectionism going on there, but ordered, just was saying the most complicated order ever. I don't know why I got mad at this, but...
Wait, sorry.
Yeah.
A roadhouse, I didn't know what one was until I came to Australia. A roadhouse is basically a built-up gas station that, like, serves food because you're probably in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. It's a gas station in the middle of nowhere that has food and probably a caravan park where you can stay. Yeah. But, so, you have just, like, three people working there for the food, and one guy's taking coffee orders, and first the dude orders an extra hot cappuccino. How do you even do that? Like, I guess make the milk extra hot, but,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, that's what Faye
Come
orders.
On, we're in the middle of nowhere. You can't expect perfectionism out of these people.
You really can't.
And then he runs off and brings back his own oat milk and is trying to hand it to this French dude who's working behind the bar, and the guy's like, we have oat milk, it's all right. Like, and the woman ordering was like, okay, I'll take a latte. And then with this confusion going on with the oat milk situation, she was like, can I actually have my coffee and milk separate? I've never heard of such a thing in my life.
And she also wanted her own milk. And then he was like, no, you could use ours, it's fine. And she was just very uncomfortable with it and wanted it on the side.
I don't know. Seeing that just got me mad. But then what also got me mad is they charged us $17 for two black coffees.
Yep.
So...
I think that they accidentally charge us for their coffees or something.
Yeah, that was a bit annoying.
But
on our way back down, we hit some waterfalls that are iconic on the old telegraph track. So we traveled the old telegraph track just a little bit, and Fruit Bat Falls.
Shout out to Kelsey Lace. I hope I'm pronouncing her last name right. Julia Varillo's sister-in-law.
Yeah.
Sent us, like...
The best itinerary.
The best Cape York itinerary. She needs to write a book. Her and her husband, Brett, need to write a book on Cape York because they sent us the most detailed information from the roads to the waterfalls to the roadhouses and caravan parks. So, they're super helpful. Anyways, continue on about Fruit Bat.
So, Fruit Bat Falls is this just very wide waterfall that is a swimming hole, very nice water. Like,
no crocodiles.
There's big, like, rock pools that you could, like, sunbathe in and just take a little dip, and you can swim behind the waterfall, and it's just a beautiful spot.
Yeah, they're not that tall. Like, I think they're probably 6 feet tall.
Yeah, 6-7 feet tall.
Yeah.
And then another one, that one was an offshoot of the telegraph track, so it was like a 3 miles round trip there and back to the road. But we wanted to go to Elliott Falls as well. And I was doing some research, and there was, like, a deep water crossing or just, like, a technical descent. And we wanted to just go look at it. Well, I thought we were going to be able to do it, but it, like, looked so much harder than it was in person than online. And I was like, I don't want to break anything. We've gone this far. I don't want to, like, My main concern was our rear license plate, since we have a bike rack, so our departure angle when we're off-roading wasn't that good, and it was a couple of really deep holes that you'd have to get to, so I was worried about breaking the bike rack, breaking the license plate.
Yeah, the license plate hangs off the bike rack now that we got our ticket for the obscured license plate, so it has a new place dangling.
Yeah, so I think I made the right decision just to not go and turn around, and just, we were happy with Fruit Bat Falls. We didn't need to see this other waterfall.
Oh, and let me just say, the old Telly track, the, like, this crazy off-roading track, this is, like, the decent section that normal people that are bypassing all the track take to go to these two waterfalls. And then they backtrack and they get off this crazy road. But, so we were going to do that because that's what a lot of people do.
Yeah, so I felt a little bad not doing, but I think it was the right decision
in the
end.
Yeah, so we didn't go to Elliot.
We didn't go to Elliot. We turned around and then started heading south for the night, getting back to civilization.
Didn't want to lose a license plate, you know?
Didn't want to lose a license plate. We camp at just a roadhouse, the same roadhouse that we were talking about the overpriced coffees at. And after we got our coffees in the morning, I look at the back of the car, and there's no license plate. So one of the worst sections of road was from that roadhouse, from Elliott Falls to that roadhouse. So we went through some rough stuff, and I guess the license plate must have just rattled off. The two bolts were there, so I don't know how, like, what the heck happened.
We have no idea where it went and why it left.
So I think one bolt, it was like, I don't know. But now we're down a license plate, and that's something we got to do tomorrow.
So Corey took the front license plate and put it on the back. But then Corey really wants the license plate back because we either need to put it on the car, you know, or we could keep it as a souvenir.
I would totally keep it as a souvenir.
Because all these roadhouses and all these campsites in the middle of nowhere, they think they're quirky by collecting random items, and they often collect license plates. And a Tasmania one is iconic. So Corey and I decided that I should write a post in the Big Cape York popular Facebook group, where everyone's always talking about everything up there. So I said, if you find our Tassie license plate, like, send it to us, please, and don't bring it to a roadhouse.
Yeah.
So wish us luck, guys. Maybe someone will find it.
Yeah, maybe someone will find it and hopefully bring it to us. But whoa, it'll probably end up on the Bramwell Station tree. And that's that. And another thing on this way down this road, we were doing so well. Like, that was the first thing that happened. And we were doing so well the whole day, and then all of a sudden, I get on a paved section of road. I was trying to pass these two people, and this section is paved, so you don't go too close because the dust is so bad, the rocks fly back at you when it's unpaved. And I got close to this guy, and all of a sudden, his trailer starts raining rocks on our car, and we got a crack in our windshield.
A couple of them.
Yeah.
From this one guy.
And it's just so annoying, the crack in the windshield. And that one got me pretty upset because I could see it right away.
It's funny because on the way up at these Bramwell Station, on the way up, people were all talking to each other about how they got cracked windshields driving.
And mainly it was coming from the other side. Like, a rock would fly at you from the other side, never from someone in front of you. So that was just...
Yeah.
That might have been...
I guess we just joined the club.
Yeah, we joined the club.
And then that day, we stopped at a roadhouse to go to the bathroom. And we went back to the car. The car didn't start, and we couldn't figure out if it was the battery or what.
I kind of had a feeling the battery was fine. It turned out to be the starter motor. Well, so it's the starter motor, the thing that starts your car, basically.
But we didn't exactly know what was going on, and the roadhouse owner came over, and he was like,
Oh, it's the starter motor.
It's a starter motor, mate. So,
and he got a crowbar out and tapped it, and it started right up when he tapped it.
I literally whispered to Corey, I said, what's a starter motor? And Corey was like, starter motor.
Yeah, so basically when you go through a lot of water, like, we went through so many water crossings, but we didn't do any that day. So I think, like, the connection got a little, like, gooked up with dirt and wasn't a clean connection. So I cleaned it off, and it's been working a little better. Again, the mechanical stuff is going to have to wait till Magnetic Island.
It's not that bad, I don't think. Because the car's been starting now.
Yeah, it's been starting every couple.
Once in a blue moon, we'll have to bang it.
Yeah, that's fine, though.
Prayers, though, guys, because...
And we finally got a car wash. Our car was so... It changed colors from silver to red. That's how dirty it was.
Other way around. Oh, yeah, yeah, when it silver, got dirty.
Yeah, so finally cleaning it off was like... You know those satisfying power washing videos you see online of, like, power washing cement or something like that?
Yeah.
That's how I felt cleaning the car, and it took about 30 minutes to clean the whole thing.
Thanks, Corey.
Oh,
I
felt
just
good.
Sat in the car and looked at my phone. And I finally have service now, which
yes.
is cool.
Yeah, and we found ourselves back in Port Douglas. I love Port Douglas. It's such a nice spot.
The best. This is a dream place to live if you could swim in the ocean. And people are swimming here, but apparently that's crazy.
Yeah, and we explored the town, got some sushi, and I got a rare call from my good old pal Johnny Schneider, who's in training to be a Navy SEAL. Well, he's passed BUDS, and now he's on to, like, the next step. So he's almost a Navy SEAL now, and he was telling me how fit he is, and so that inspired me to go do a big old workout at the beach in Port Douglas, which felt real good. Maxie got a huge workout in as well. So we're feeling sore today, feeling ripped though, but shout out Johnny for inspiring us to work out.
Yeah, Navy SEAL who? Corey and Maxie are gonna
show him up.
No, yeah. I'm kidding. We're so proud to have a nearly Navy SEAL bestie. We love you, Johnny.
Yeah, it's awesome to see how thank well he's
thank you for
doing.
Your service.
Yeah, thank you for your service.
And thank you for the phone call.
Yeah, that's that. And I was also in hunt for a new hat, so if you guys have seen, I have two hats. I had three. I lost one in Bali because it flew off the motorbike and just not worth it to go back and get it.
that was my fault.
But I, yeah, new hat, new me. So maybe you'll see pictures of me in this new hat.
Yeah, we went to like 10 stores to look for hats. And we went to those 10 stores three times each to look for hats. Just because Corey had to be very sure about the one, which...
It's I don't really buy things for myself, but buying this hat felt good.
I'm proud of him. He went with his gut on choice there. So many options.
Yeah. Yes, and now our next house sit is coming up. Before the homeowner was like, oh yeah, you guys can come up early, that'd be fine, and... So,
let's talk about this. I like feel bad for even complaining about the last encounter because this lady is already grinding my gears.
Yeah, so at first to get this house sit is on an island. It's like probably the size of Block Island. It has only about 3,000 people living on it, and to get out there it's a pretty expensive car ferry. I think it's like $100 one way.
130 one way.
Yeah, 130 one way.
133 or something.
Yeah. And so if you're a resident, it's only about $40 or like it's so much lower. So we were looking into
Also, we didn't know that we had to pay for this expensive car ferry when we were agreeing to house it. Like it wasn't a warning or anything that the car ferry is very expensive.
Yeah.
Because it's a 20-minute boat ride.
Yeah. So we were like, oh, maybe it's actually pretty easy to get your Australian, like, driver's license. It actually is kind of, like, quasi-required.
And we'll be residents of the island for 2 months. We're not just, like, tourists.
Yeah, we're going to be there for an extended period of time. So
it'd be good to have our residence rate for the car ferry if we need to go to the mainland.
Yeah, and it'd be really cool to have an Australian license.
Yeah, and this would be a great island address to have a license to.
Yeah. So, all you really need is her, like, a lease that says, oh, Corey and Maxie are staying here for 7 weeks, and we need to sign it, and she needs to sign it. So, we asked her to do this.
Well, yeah, we talked to the DMV, and they said, you can get a license for sure, no problem. You just need a legal lease. And I said, does it need to be a year-long lease because we have a 7-week dog-sitting job? And they said, no, it does not have to be a year, just a legal lease. That's all you need. And that's basically all you need.
Yeah.
So we reached out to her, this lady, who's, mind you, she's not paying us for a 2-month dog sitting job in the middle of nowhere on a remote island, not offering to pay for our ferry. That's fine. But she's this wealthy woman who lives on this expensive island, who has no generosity to her spirit, because, anyways, she isn't. Just think about having someone live in your house for 2 months to take care of your 5 pets and not paying them anything. Like, that doesn't really happen in the United States of America, but this lady's doing it with us. So, you would think that she, when I reached out and said, hi, like, Corey really wants his Australian driver's license because it's quasi-required after driving in Australia for 6 months on an international license. It's strongly encouraged that you have an Australian license after that. And also for other reasons. Like, I was just like, there's a myriad of reasons.
Yeah. And we asked her, like, the first time we asked her, she kind of shot it down really hard and was like, oh, I'll look it up. No, I just Googled it. You don't need a license.
Yeah, but here's the thing. What we were asking her to do, we said, no worries if you're uncomfortable doing this. Don't worry about it. Just let us know if you're uncomfortable. But can you just send us a legal lease, a really simple one from online, any online form that's a legal lease?
That says we're living there for the time of the house. Yeah, basically the same thing that Trusted House Sitters, the house sitting website we use, says.
Yeah, we just need to make it a legal document. So can you just do the dates that we're living in your house, just the 7 weeks, no lies here, no lies, and for $0 a month, because it's like a free exchange. And like Corey said, she shot it down and she was like, you do not need a license. You're fine. You could drive on your international one. And I was like, oh yeah, well, we just like wanted them for like a myriad of reasons. And she was like,
oh yeah, you don't need one. And then I messaged her and was like,
the ferry's expensive.
It was like, yeah, honestly, this is just because we want to get a license so the ferry is cheaper. And then she was like, yeah, I never go to the mainland. You won't need that.
Yeah, and she was like, I know it's expensive. You'll have to figure it out, though, is what she said.
Yeah, you'll figure it out, though, yeah. So, just already coming in hot. And then, was there 3 things or just 2 things?
Well, like, in that conversation?
No, well, in that conversation, she shot us down 3
early.
Times.
Yeah, she shot us
down. Okay, yeah. Then the next thing that happened, we were like, all right, we're really excited to do this house sit for a long time because finally getting into, like, a... we're going to try and get jobs on this island. We're going to be here for an extended period of time. So might as well do a little work, make some money.
Yeah, people say whatever. It could get boring there after a while. So she even told us to get jobs so it's not boring.
And earlier, I swear, she said, yeah, just come earlier. You can let me know. And
she did.
And so like we messaged her a couple days ago and said, hey, is it all right if we come 3 days before the sit starts? Actually, we didn't even ask. We'd be like, we're aiming to come out there the 10th, and the sit starts on the 13th or the 14th.
She wants us to come a day early on the 13th, and she basically told us to come as early as we want, and then we said, hey, can we actually come on the 10th? And she shot it down. She said...
Instantly.
Yeah, she said, actually, I wish you asked me much earlier than this. We're going to have to leave the dates as is, and see you on Tuesday.
Yeah. See you next Tuesday.
Yeah. Good one. She's been kind of a piece of work and not generous in spirit at all.
So wish us luck, everybody, for this next house. I think once she leaves, it'll be fine. And the island is like, we're going to be living on one of the most iconic destinations in Australia. So it's going to be a really good house set. But
yeah.
Hopefully we have good encounters with this lady.
If she's been so annoying leading up to it, I like almost wonder how annoying she's gonna be during it from afar. But we'll see, guys.
Got this no good service. Yeah, that's it for this week, guys. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you. It was a fun week. I hope you enjoyed.
Yeah, this was one of our last massive remote adventures.
Yeah, I know Alicia called me out for this. I know I said that I was going to have phone service for the rest of the trip a couple weeks ago, but then we did decide to do this one last Cape York remote road trip because it was right place, right time. Basically, we didn't know what else to do, and this road trip was just a few hours north. So yep. We went and did it, and I lost phone service, yes, and then now I'm going to be hopefully fully connected for the rest of the year.
Yes, well, thank you all for listening. We love you all.
We love you. Have a good day.
And have a good day.